is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church. Coming to you from Austin, Texas.
It is great to be with you again, right here from our studio in Austin, Texas, and from Bible Home Church. You know, we're having a series now that I think is really one of the more fun series, because I love Bible prophecy, and I love what it tells us about the future. And all of Bible prophecy points to the coming again of Jesus. It's so fascinating to me that the Bible is designed to tell a great story. You won't find this in any of the mythologies or a Harry Potter book, let me tell you. You see, the Bible begins in Genesis and already begins to tell about God's great works with man and through man, and sometimes in spite of man. And then the Bible points all the way through from Genesis, all the way in the Old Testament, to the coming of Jesus Christ. He who was God, made flesh, and dwelt among us. John chapter 1. Now, at the same time, we have in the New Testament great testimony about the coming again of Jesus Christ. So I always see the Bible as really the story of two great comings. That's sort of a summation of it. But imagine, you know, I got a letter from a gentleman, Bob Walker is his name, and he said, "Dear Brother Tex, I have watched your work for a while, and the proof is too strong to ignore." And he's talking about Bible prophecy and the New World Order and such. He says, "Why is God allowing this New World Order to happen? Is he unable to stop Satan from doing this? Why, Tex, why? I see what is coming, and no one talks about why God allows this. Maybe Satan is more powerful than God, like the Satanists say. Is this true?" Signed, Bob. Well, Bob, the first thing that you need to do in your great fatal mistake is not reading God's Word. You've read the things I say, and that's wonderful. But I always point people to Bible prophecy. In every one of my books, there are Bible verses. They all simply illustrate a particular Bible prophecy. For example, my book about prophecy, Circle of Intrigue. You open up the very first page, and before the book even begins, there's verses from the book of Revelation. So you know what the book is going to be about. It's going to be an illustration, a demonstration of the power of God's prophecy. Now, why does God allow Satan to do these things? Really, the key to understanding the world is that God did not want robots to serve him. He wanted people who were willing to choose between God and his adversary. God, you see, doesn't want a bunch of robots. He can make robots. He can make people without free will. You know, I have a little cat sitting on my couch right now in my office as I talk to you over the radio. As far as I know, that cat does not have free will. How did I get the cat in my office? Well, we found him outside. He was abandoned or something as a little kitten, and we felt so sorry for him. So we took him in and gave him milk and food, and then went and took him to have his shots. And the cat's been sort of expensive in that we had to get all this, you know, veterinary work and all that for him. But he's sort of a pleasure to have around. People enjoy the cat here in the office. He goes and comes and sort of thinks that, well, that he owns the place. Actually, I think it's a she. I've been corrected here. It's a she. But don't all cats look the same? But you see, this cat is a lot of fun to have around. But I suppose God, he created all kind of animals for his enjoyment. All kind of creatures I believe we will find in heaven. I don't know what the angels are going to look like. I really don't. The Bible has a few descriptions. But it's interesting to me, God created people. We all, it's amazing to me that a face only, you know, has two eyes, lips, a nose. But the combinations God can make of faces alone is remarkable. I've often thought of that. How many combinations could you possibly get with, you know what, 5 or 6 inches wide and 7 or 8 to 10 high, and just, you know, eyes and eyebrows and a nose and a mouth and a jaw and a few little features, cheekbones, but amazing combinations that God did it all for his pleasure. You know, he does what he wants. And I'm willing to accept that. Are you? He's sovereign. But he gave men free will. And some men choose to do evil and some choose to do good. And let me tell you something. I think here's the master plan you need to understand. God is great. God is magnificent. And he's the boss. Yes, that's right. He's the one you call sir. He's the one you call master. He's the one you call Lord, Father. Being that is so, being he is the sovereign who created everything, your rules cannot bind him. His rules bind you. Now listen to me very carefully. Why should God accept in heaven anyone but the ones he wants? I took this cat in. There are no doubt many other stray cats I could drive downtown to an alleyway and pick up 30 or 40 in a given night, perhaps. But I chose this cat. And I'm not God. I think you're greater than cats. In fact, God says that men are greater than birds. I know that for sure. And he takes care of all the birds and clothes and feeds them. Well, then he'll take care of you, the Bible says, if you're of him. But he wants people to obey him. I've often said, I've told about how when I began this ministry, how I cried out to God, why me? I'm weak. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I don't have the connections. Lord, why did you choose me for this ministry? And the answer from God came back. Because I knew you would do it. He knew I would do it. It's as simple as that. I thought there was going to be something. Did he choose me because I'm smarter? Because I'm got more influence with people? More persuasive? No. He just chose me, you know, because I'd do it. But you know something, my friends? There is power in a man or a woman saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. I will do it. I think God wants people like that in heaven. I'm not priding myself. I wish I had more assets for God. I still feel weak. I still incompetent. I still feel unable to accomplish everything that God wants. But I know that's in my own personal feelings, emotions. Has nothing to do with what God will do through me and you. Now listen to me very carefully. You may say, I don't have anything to offer God. And you could be right. You have nothing to offer God, you say. Okay, I agree with you. I don't even know you, but if you want to be a down on yourself, I'll agree with you on that. But so what? It's not what you have to offer God, it's what God has to offer through you. I mean, we turn to the Bible and so often we see people who are just inadequate, from Paul to Moses. You know, they had speaking impediments, it said. They had this or that flaw. They were too old. They were too young. They were too uneducated. On and on and on. And you know, that's true. They were not ideal for their chosen roles. But they accomplished heroic things. And God says in the book of Daniel that his people in the last days will do exploits. Boy, get your Webster's out and look up exploits. You know what it means? Great things. Heroic things. Are they heroes? No. God simply uses us. If God will use Bible Home Church and you as a part of it, my friend, He can do miracles through us. That's the wonderful thing. I cannot tell you how many miracles have been wrought through this ministry. Am I taking pride? Yes, I'm taking pride in God. Over and over again, I have been, I don't know why, I'm still shocked at what God does. I'm still amazed. Sometimes I pray and ask God, and I believe, I have faith in it. But it seems so preposterous, so, you know, impractical. And then the word comes back, it may be days, it may be weeks, it may be months, comes back that it came to pass. How can that be? I say, my goodness. And Wanda one time looked at me and says, well, you're acting like Tex, like it was some fantastic thing. I said, well, it is. We prayed about something that absolutely could not come to pass, but it did. And she laughed at me, and we had a good time over that, because she said, well, you did pray, you know. You did believe, didn't you? I said, well, yes, but it's just so unbelievable. She says, well, now, wait just a minute. If you don't want it to happen, don't pray for it. Because God will surprise you with the miracle that He brings you. And this gentleman writes me this letter. Why is God allowing the New World Order to happen? Let me tell you. It says in the Bible, He wishes that no man would perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. But they will, because they choose to do so. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them everything. But they still chose to do the one thing He told them not to do. Men today, as a general rule, do not worship God. He invites them to. There's every advantage to worshiping God. I think you're crazy, even if there is no heaven, even if there is no afterlife, you're a crazy nut fool not serve God right here and now. All the advantages, the power, the majesty, the peace, the contentment, the joy. Nevertheless, people are deceived and they betray others into believing that God is not good. God is not merciful. God has no power. And here is this man. Who has he been listening to when he says, maybe Satan is more powerful than God? Yeah, well, maybe my name is not Tex Mars and that's not a cat. Maybe it's an African buzzard or something sitting on my couch. But I assure you, it looks like a cat. I know it's a cat. Listen, friends, I've always loved Revelation chapter 17. It talks about the world in the last days. It says there will be 10 world leaders in the last days, and they will all be of one mind, for they will give all of their power and strength unto the beast, the Antichrist. And all the world shall worship the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. What a fantastic conspiracy, but it will be true. Imagine, almost all the world, except the very few who worship the Lamb Jesus Christ, will believe in the beast, and even the world's leaders will be of one mind and give all of their strength and power unto Him. Boy, you could get really scared thinking, well, the devil's going to have everything then. Now, remember, this was prophesied 2,000 years ago. There in the book of Revelation, it was written down. Now, let me tell you the good part, though. After you read of these terrible things to come upon the earth, and I believe they're right here before us, it says, for it is the will of God that this be so. Oh, my goodness. Did you know that everything that is happening, God is allowing to happen? And let me tell you why. He has a great plan. And all the things that the devil does are under control. They're being watched and monitored by God. They're small little puny efforts, and they're all contained within that master plan. You know, it was interesting to me. there are things on this earth that occur that seem to be bad but turn out to be good. For example, there are medicines that could kill you. But if you, seemingly, they seem to be poison, but when you take them, if you have a deadly disease, they can kill the cells in your body that are full of that cancerous disease. I always think it's interesting, back when I was a little kid, I took the polio vaccine, and I asked, what is in this? And they said, well, it's polio bacteria. I went, oh, no, I don't... You're giving me polio. They said, well, you see, we give you just a little tinsy bit of polio, so then your body will act, the immune system, and ward off any major attack of polio. You won't be on in one of these horrid, terrible iron lungs like so many other thousands of children were back in the 50s when I was a young kid. Well, I didn't want to be in one of those iron lungs for the rest of my life. So I took the first polio shots. I don't remember what they call them, the Salk vaccine or whatever. And you know, polio has been eradicated in the United States. Now, I don't want to get into debate today about vaccines, and I realize there could be some bad vaccines too, and some people have taken this anthrax vaccine, and man alive, their bodies just didn't react to it, and they got very sick from it. So I'm not promoting vaccines. I'm simply saying I know for a fact that thousands of people died of polio. If you go back in history, before the vaccine, and if you go back in history, many millions died of smallpox before the vaccine. Now, nobody's dying of smallpox. I think they had one case or something, a shock case throughout the world in the last few years. God will take the bad. He doesn't create it, and He may allow it, but He will take that, my friends, and make something good of it in the end. The Bible ends with Jesus Christ victorious. And He's got it all planned out. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You keep that in mind. Everything is under control. But the problem with Bob here is that he did not read the back of the book. He sees bad things about him. If you look at the bad in the world today, you start to think, well, the devil's got everything under control. And you know what? The Bible even says that Satan is God of this world with a small g. But the Lord Jesus Christ is God of the whole universe. Who knows how many trillions, zillions of worlds that includes, including Earth and our small little galaxy that we have right here in this solar system. This is like peanuts compared to what God owns. And Satan's plan is so tiny compared to what God has in mind. And let me tell you something, my friends. Over and over again, bad things have come in the life of Tex Mars. But because I trusted God, they became little blimps on the road eventually. I look back now, all the things that I worried about were as nothing. God had control, and everything was just meant to show me the power of God. We have, even in the ministries that I've had the IRS and everybody else come down. Every time God said to me, endure, overcome. And we did. And He'll do that in your life too. And my friend Bob, listen to me very carefully. Is God able to stop Satan from doing these things? Oh, yes. Yes, He is. Read about Job in the Bible. He allowed certain things to happen to Job for your instruction, Bob, and mine. But eventually, God says, that's it. The test is over. Restore everything to Job and more. And someday, God is going to say, the test is over. He who endures to the end shall be saved. That's what it says in His book. He whose name is written in the book of the life, come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come. My friends, listen to me. He has prepared mansions in heaven for you and for me. If you don't want yours, then just go ahead and throw the key in the trash can. What is the key? Salvation. But there's another place that's been prepared for the devil and his angels, and for those men and women who reject God. You know, you keep that in mind. Okay? Satan, if he were more powerful than God, let me tell you, Tex Mars would be in big trouble. But here I am preaching the truth to you, going against all the politically correct mumbo-jumbo today, and still my little cat sits over there on the couch, enjoying life. In fact, I think she's asleep right now. Knowing this is God's great world, and we have every protection. Bob, listen, read the whole Gospel of Matthew. Read it all. Find out even the terrible part where Jesus Christ went to the cross, but read also where he was resurrected, and read where he said he's going to prepare a place for you. And read all the way to the back. Read to Revelation. Find out about those terrible things that it was prophesied to occur, but then get to chapter 22. You might want to start. I always start at the back of a book myself. Maybe Revelation's not a bad place to start in the Bible. Read all the way to the back, chapter 22. Find out about Jesus Christ coming again in victory. And then start with the devil. See, Bob, you started wrong. You started with what the devil's doing in the world. Start with God creating the world in Genesis. Start back in Revelation with Jesus Christ coming victoriously. That's the beginning and the end, as far as mankind is concerned, and then read in between there. You'll have a better perspective. Start at the beginning, start at the end. And you know what's interesting? But even Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Well, see, it's just a wonderful time here. We're going to dispense with a song today, because I do want to bring you at least a little bit of our message today, our continuing series on prophecies in the letters of Paul. But I hope you'll tune in next week. And we won't talk so much about things like God's will and Satan's pitiful destiny, although those aren't bad things to talk about. But next week we'll have a lot more about prophecies and letters of Paul. So here again is the message, the continuing series, the prophecies in the letters of Paul. To around 200, 300 AD, through the ravages of Domitian and Nero and other Roman emperors, are you really better than them that you expect that you'll just be raptured up and never have to undergo any torment or suffering or tribulation? Well, we're going to discuss those very things today. These are weighty issues indeed. So many people have written me saying, Tex Mars, do you believe in the rapture of the Christian church? I always say, well, it doesn't matter what I believe, but let's pay maximum attention to what God said. Isn't that really what it's all about? I love to find out what God said. We're going to find that out today. And he said it through his prophet, Paul, whom he inspired. And I know, and you know, if you have any sense about you, and if you're ignorant, well, I hope you don't remain ignorant, but my friends, let me tell you something. What I'm going to read to you from the Word of God is not with error. In other words, it's inerrant. There is no mistakes here. There are no mistranslations in the King James Bible. There are many other versions that are just a bunch of trash. And if you don't like me saying that, well, I'll prove my point. Send off for all of our audio tapes and videos that we've got proving our point. All the new versions are just a bunch of malarkey. And that's the way it is. It's true. But this Bible, the King James Bible, the faithful Bible of the greatest missionaries in human history who brought Jesus Christ and his gospel to a dark, dark world, this great Bible has no mistakes, no errors, no contradictions. And if you think it does, you're just listening to fools and believing in fool's gold. Or fool's trash, I should say. And we can believe what it says here. And so often we depend on our own ideas, but we don't go to God's Word. And then when we do, we take one thing out of context. We're going to see a lot of things that are not taken out of context, but are exactly what God intended and what he meant. And I just like clear language. Now, some people don't like the these and the thous of the King James Bible, and maybe that's not so great. But on the other hand, when you consider the other versions and how they took out
of prophecy, entire verses and passages. Well, I think I'll just accept a few these and thous and thines. It's a lot better than losing out on God's word and not even understanding what he meant. And the wonderful thing is, Daniel 12 verse 10 says, the wise in the last days, the wise shall understand, but the wicked shall not. And I think one of the reasons for these false Bibles is, that's part of the strong delusion, and millions of people are buying these false Bibles from RSV to the NIV to the ASV, and it goes on with the alphabet soup versions. And they are sent a strong delusion by God. They cannot possibly understand the things that we're going to talk about today. And if you're one of them and you've got your little handy little NIV, New International Version, or the New World Translation, or the New Living Translation, or the Living Bible, and all these other junky things, throw them away, please. I know they cost a little money, but they're no good. Just get you a King James Bible and follow along with me. Be inspired by the messages that you're going to get right from God. Because I'm going to read you God's Word. And then you decide. You know, Fox News Network has the old slogan there, we report, you decide. Well, I tell you what God said, and you decide. If you want to decide against God, then go along your way and perish, and you'll be destroyed. But if you want to listen up to what God said, we're going to have some fun.
Please tune into Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on the prophecies and the letters of Paul.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.